tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it. Then you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Affection could never earn it. Give what we don't deserve. Broken things and raise them to God.
God wonderful? Isn't our God good? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment and greet each other this morning.
Hey everyone, welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad to have you here with us. We have so many exciting events coming up in the life of our church you won't want to miss. If you're interested in finding out what it means to be a member at Harvest Time Church or get plugged into a team, the membership class November 7th is your next step. You can sign up through Realm or head to the Connect Desk after the service and talk to our team. On November 14th, we will have baby dedications. If you're interested in having your baby dedicated, head to the Connect Desk after the service. And last, Friday evening, November 5th at 7 p.m., we have our Fire in the Night worship and prayer service. To stay connected in the life of our church, scan the QR code on the screen to sign up for a Realm account. If you have any questions about Realm, head over to the Connect Desk after the service. We love you, church, and hope you have a great week.
Of seeing a child open the boxes for the first time is just, it's incredible.
We are so excited. Many of the children receive the shoebox for the first time in their life.
We pray that these boxes will be used to bring a lot of happiness and joy, but more importantly, the gospel to each heart, all these little children around the world.
No greater need and no greater time than right now for us to go out and serve boldly. This is what these shoe boxes are all about, to go out and to bring a hope of Jesus Christ around the world.
I'm just so amazed at what God does each and every year. This is an opportunity to impact the lives of millions of children, just like you've seen. But we need more boxes for next year. Every box is an opportunity for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you, and God bless each and every one.
How many know it is an awesome opportunity to give? How many of y'all know it's biblical to understand it's better to give than to receive? And I am grateful that we are a part of a church that is going to be a blessing to kids that we will probably never meet this side of heaven, and you get to be a part of that blessing. How many of y'all excited to be a part of Operation Christmas Child? Right outside this service, and pretty much for the next couple of weeks, we're going to have an Operation Christmas Child stand. You can talk to Bruce. If you don't know Bruce, Bruce is an amazing man. If you know Bruce, you know he's an amazing man. And you can just go say hi to him, pick up a box, take it home, fill it with items that fit a girl or a boy under a certain age. One of the things that my wife and I are doing is we have a 5-year-old son, and he is going to put together a box for a 5-year-old boy. We have an 8-year-old girl, and she's going to put together a box for an 8-year-old girl, and it is going to be a blessing for so many. I love that this is not something that we do to feel good. This is something that we do to continue to take the kingdom of Jesus around this country and around this globe. Amen? Stop by afterwards. Be a part of that. Yes, we can lift up a shout of praise for all of the lives that are going to be changed. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. If this is your first or second time, it is so awesome to see you. We do really pray that as you walk through the doors of this church, it just feels like home when you walk in. If this is your home church, welcome home. We really do say welcome home. It's good to see you again. It's good to start. You're welcome, Mr. Kelly. It's good to see you too. What if we just had a conversation? It's like, how was your week? Did you have a good week? Good. What'd you do? No, just kidding. But it's a pleasure to see you. A couple things I want to let you know about that are really important. First thing is this. This Friday, 7 p.m., we are having another Fire in the Night night. I don't know what to say after Fire in the Night night. But this is going to be an incredible opportunity for as a church where we can get together and worship and pray. If you knew about Fire in the Nights, maybe in previous season, they used to go for 12 hours. They were all night. They were epic. They were incredible. We are still going to have an epic, incredible night. It's just going to be a little bit more condensed into 2.5-3 hours, and we would really love for you to be a part of this. This is a great opportunity to worship and pray, and then when you're done worshiping and praying, then you can pray and worship and just be in a room with a bunch of people that are excited to see what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. lives through worship and prayer and really unite around specific things that are important to the body of Christ and to our nation in the process. So that's going to be this Friday, starting at 7 p.m. If you're a pre-soaker, And if you go, I don't know what pre-soaking is, don't worry. That's probably not for you in this season. But if you're like, I love soaking, that starts at 6 p.m. But the actual night of worship and prayer kicks off starting at 7 p.m. So we look forward to seeing you there. Also want to let you know, next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., we are having a membership course. So if you're new to Harvest Time Church, maybe you've been coming for a few months, maybe this is your first Sunday, and you want to find out more about who we are, what we believe, and how you can be a part of what God's doing through just a local church, this is a great night for you. We're going to be hearing from our lead pastors, Glenn and Denise, from our team as well, and just let you know what it means to be a part of a church like Harvest Time, which is just a very normal, Jesus-loving church. Can I get an amen from all the Jesus lovers? Uh-oh, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Can I get an amen from all the Jesus lovers in the house? Okay. All right. I just thought maybe this was a different church on Sunday mornings. I was a bit worried there for a second. But we want to see you there. Sign up for that at the Connect Desk. Talk to Pastor Kimmy. Talk to myself, any of our team at the Connect Desk after the service. And make sure that you are a part of that night. But we're going to come around our giving. Thank you so much for everybody who faithfully just continues to sow in and week out. It's what God is doing here through just the local church. If you're going to be giving, there's an envelope that you're going to see on your in your pamphlet or your program that you received. If you're going to be giving by text, look, giving by text is easy. We wouldn't tell you it was easy if it wasn't easy. So we're being really truthful about it. If you're watching us online, thank you so much. You can click on that link. But I want to encourage you with a scripture. In Proverbs 11:24, it says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." Nobody amens that part. Everybody's like, amen on the larger, not so much an amen on the smaller. And I think that that's because nobody wants a smaller life. Nobody wants a less of an impact. Nobody wakes up and goes, you know what? I don't want any friends. I don't want to be able to bless anybody. And I hope nobody calls me. Nobody, but that would be what a small life is, where you have no influence or impact in anybody that really could be, you know, in your sphere of influence. Truth is, we want a larger life. And I love that when we operate with this idea of being a blessing, when we operate with this idea of being generous, God expands our ability to be an influence, expands our ability to be a blessing to so many people. And I pray that we are a church that doesn't look at giving as rote. This isn't just an opportunity to give. This is actually the opportunity to be a blessing because God has first given us, and it's our first fruits to give back to Him. So I pray that we're excited about these moments, that we don't look at it as like, ah, fine, you can have my money. But we go, oh, Lord, you can have it all if you wanted it all. You could have 10%, you got 20%. It doesn't matter because you know what, God, if He can get it to you, He can get it through you, and that means He'll get it in you. So can we hold our tithe in our hand? And just believe that God is going to do something supernatural through something that is just so basic, which is just giving back to Him what He's given to us. Jesus, we thank You. Lord, we thank You that we can live lives of generosity. Lord, that we can trust You with everything. We can trust You with our time. We can trust You with our talents. We can trust You with the treasure that You've given us. Lord, and that You will do more than we ever thought possible with what we give to You. So, Lord, we ask that You would do that. Lord, supernaturally multiply this offering. Let it touch more lives than we ever thought possible. Lord, let it be a blessing to so many, God. We love You. We thank You for what it is You're doing through local, just a local church, and through faithful believers in You, Jesus. We love You, and in Your name we pray. Amen. While you do that, why don't you turn your attentions to the screen.
There's nothing that God can't do. There's not a mountain. God bless you. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want to invite you to find Mark chapter 6, Gospel of Mark chapter 6. Going to start reading in verse 30 this morning. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about fish tacos al fresco. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. While you find your way there, first of all, elections are coming up this Tuesday. I hope if you are a U.S. citizen, if you have the right to vote, I hope that you'll exercise that right to vote, and I hope that you will vote according to your Christian convictions. Our friend Heather Smriglio is running for re-election for tax collector in Greenwich. Heather was with us in our early service today. And how many of you know God needs his light in town hall? God needs his light in offices of government. We have a great first selectman, Fred Camillo, who's a great friend to Harvest Time Church. And we're just praying for Heather's good success in the election on Tuesday. And just praying that God will put his picks and his people in positions of authority. At the end of the service today, we're going to be honoring our friends Anita and Anika Tilly, who have been serving our congregation, and we're going to be blessing them with a special offering. In your bulletin today, there is a second offering envelope, and I hope that you'll share for our final act of worship a love offering with Anita and Anika. Just want to let you know that starting last week, we now have Portuguese translation on Sunday mornings in our 10:30 service. Where are my Portuguese friends that are listening to translation? All right, hold your hand up high if you're listening on Portuguese translation right now. So come on, let's just bless these folks. And if you see some people with a cell phone and earbuds, they're not listening to Stephen Furtick, I hope. They're listening to Harvest Time translated, and we're getting ready to start Spanish translation in the month of November. We're just getting our team of Spanish translators together. How many of you know everybody needs to hear the word? All right, look with me. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. Mark 6, starting in verse 30. The Bible says the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Those are some beautiful words from Jesus right there. You know, I believe there's a word from Jesus for someone. You should, if you have a paper Bible, underline it. "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. You should underline many things. Jesus taught them many things. That means he's talked for a long time. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Lord, that would take more than a half year's wages. Are we to go spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two small fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and two fish. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. And St. Matthew adds the note 5,000 plus women and children, a crowd of maybe 20 or 25,000 people. Let's talk about fish tacos al fresco. First of all, I want you to know that I believe that the miracles in the Bible are true. I believe they actually happened. They're not hyperbole. They're not some kind of complicated metaphor to convey a spiritual message. They are the actual testimony of eyewitnesses who saw them go down. I believe that they happened precisely as they're recorded in the Bible. The Bible is the reliable written record of God's saving acts in human history. Furthermore, I believe that God still does miracles today. I personally know people who are the recipients of miracles. I have witnessed miracles firsthand. I've seen God do miracles in response to some of my prayers and the prayers of others. And I am a recipient of miracles myself. I want you to know this church is a miracle. Not just the edifice that we worship in, but the family that worships here, it's a miracle. Jesus' feeding of 5,000 men plus women and children occurred at the zenith of his popularity in Galilee. It's the only miracle from Jesus' public ministry that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. It was the culmination of Jesus' miracles for the lost sheep of Israel. Let me just see your hands. How many of you here like tacos? Who likes tacos? Everybody likes tacos. All right, how many of you like fish tacos? Oh, a lot of you, because fish tacos, I'm going to make you hungry. Everybody's going to go out and eat. There's going to be a run on fish tacos after service today, and nobody's going to know why. Fish tacos is a good way to describe what Jesus served to the crowd. For a few minutes, I want to talk about what we learn about Jesus from fish tacos. On your way in, you received a program, and your program is an outline of today's sermon. And if you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, follow along. What can we learn about Jesus from fish tacos al fresco? First of all, we learn how Jesus loves. We learn how he loves. This whole miracle happens simply because Jesus loves people. You know, Jesus cares about the needs of his own disciples. Last week we talked about the mission of the 12 in the villages of Galilee. Their mission was so successful that huge crowds of people followed them back to Capernaum. So they're trying to debrief with Jesus, but the crowd was pressing in on them so much that they couldn't even catch a bite. Jesus saw that they needed time for physical rest and replenishment. He saw that they needed time to decompress. Ministry is taxing in every way, especially deliverance and healing ministry. He knew they needed time to reflect on what God had done in the villages, and he knew that they needed his feedback. So Jesus loaded them into Peter's boat to take them someplace private. Can I tell you that Jesus still cares about the needs of his own disciples? He cares about our mental and our emotional and our physical well-being. He cares about our need for rest and renewal. He cares about our need for reflection and feedback and mentoring. He cares about our bodily needs. Jesus invites us to come apart and spend time alone with him so that he can minister to us simply because he loves us so much. But I find something else here about his love. When people are spiritually hungry, Jesus alters his plans. Jesus and the disciples are traveling by boat from the northwest corner of the lake to the northeast corner of the lake. It's about 4-mile journey across the water. But the crowd was so hungry for Jesus that they followed his boat around the shoreline. It was 4 miles by sea, but 8 miles on foot, yet the crowd arrived ahead of the boat. Maybe Jesus and his disciples hit a headwind that slowed them down. I don't know. But honestly, I think it speaks to the hunger of the crowd. They ran to meet Jesus. Jesus intended to spend time alone with the disciples, but when he saw the spiritual hunger of the crowds, he was overwhelmed with compassion, and he changed his plans. You know, Jesus was withdrawing from Galilee. God's plan of salvation was marching on through the cross and through the resurrection. Jesus' time was getting short. He had done too many miracles to count in Galilee. Still, he was rejected. Still, he was opposed. He was grieving the execution of his cousin, John the Baptist. Jesus had invested everything he could in those people, and now he was beginning to withdraw from Galilee. But the spiritual hunger of the crowd moved him to change his plans and minister some more, and in fact, do his greatest miracle yet. Beloved, can I tell you that I believe that spiritual hunger can still persuade Jesus to change his plans? Can I tell you the time that we live in, it's just like what Jesus said to the towns of Galilee. Jesus has been so rejected and so opposed and so disobeyed here in America that if God doesn't administer divine justice soon, he'll owe an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. If Jesus withdraws from America, can I tell you, we fully deserve it. But spiritual hunger can persuade him to change his plans. Spiritual hunger can persuade him to have compassion on us again. It can persuade him to delay his withdrawal from us and the coming of judgment. Spiritual hunger can persuade him to stay a while longer with us and do his greatest miracles yet. If you want to know, that's why I'm still in it. That's why I'm still in ministry, because I believe with all my heart that even while the headlines grow more troubling every day, that God is going to awaken spiritual hunger in millennials and Generation Z and Generation Alpha. And I believe that Jesus is going to amend his plans in our favor. God, revive America. I have it on my heart. I'm going off road for a minute, but I have it in my heart. I'm going to start two prayer meetings, two weekly prayer meetings. One's going to be called Soul Winning Prayers. And we're going to get together, everybody who wants to see people come to Christ. We're going to get together and we're going to start praying for salvation. The other prayer meeting that's on my heart, heavy on my heart, is Revival for America. What can we learn about Jesus from fish tacos al fresco? How he loves, here's another thought. We learn who Jesus uses. Can I tell you that every disciple of Jesus is a missionary? That doesn't mean that we'll all take an overseas trip, but we're all called to be fishers of people. Jesus' love prompted this miracle, but he used this miracle as a teaching moment for his disciples. Who does Jesus use? Who can he use? Well, one thing I find is that Jesus uses disciples who catch his compassion for people. The 12 disciples had just come off an intense time of ministry. They were tired. They were hungry. They needed to decompress. They were looking forward to time alone with Jesus, but his compassion moved him to alter his plans, and they went along with it. The arc of the sun was starting to move towards the western horizon, and they became concerned about the well-being of the crowd. They said, "Jesus, you've been teaching a while now. It's getting late. These people, they haven't eaten all day. Dismiss them so that they can walk into town and buy food before night falls." The disciples genuinely cared about people, but not enough to assume responsibility for them. They had the right attitude, but they didn't act. Ironically, out on their mission in the villages, they had relied upon the hospitality of the people in that crowd. They had eaten their food and stayed in their homes. Now it was time to repay their kindness. Jesus said, "You know, guys, I think we can do a little bit better than just sending them away to fend for themselves." They were almost there, but they needed to come up to the level of Jesus' compassion. Who does Jesus use? Who can he use? He uses disciples that are guided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus replied, "You give them something to eat." They had come up with a solution that was thoughtful, it was practical, it was economic, it was timely, it was a good plan as far as plans go, but it wasn't what God had in mind. St. John writes that from the very beginning, Jesus already knew what God had in mind to do in this situation. We have a membership class coming up a week from today, next Sunday evening. And if you've been praying about becoming a member of HTC, we'd love to see you there. You can sign up at the Connect desk out in the foyer after service today. But that night, I'm going to tell you about my very first day on staff at HTC in 1996. It was horrendous. Part of that day, Pastor Tate asked me to take a counseling appointment that was way out of my league. Nothing I learned in 4 years of Bible college plus 4 years of seminary prepared me to minister to the needs of the poor woman that sat in front of me. Her messes had messes, and she was battling a terminal illness. By 2 o'clock on my very first day, I wanted to quit. And I found myself on my knees behind my desk saying, "God, if you don't lead me, I can't do this job, not for a single day." You want to know how I lead our congregation? I sit in my office and I look out the window at Augustine's farm, and I don't know what to do until the Holy Spirit speaks to me. But when he speaks to me, I know what to do, and I have the faith to do it. Beloved friends, I want to tell you, we are way past the time in the world when good plans for ministry will work anymore. They might be thoughtful, they might be practical, they might be economical, they might be timely, but they will not work. The arc of the sun is moving low in the western horizon, and nightfall is about to come on all mankind, and only God plans will work right now. Who does Jesus use? Who can he use? This is my favorite part right here. Jesus uses disciples who trust his word over what they see. The disciples were gobsmacked by Jesus' reply. I got a good Aussie word in there. "Jesus, what do you mean you give them something to eat? It would take 8 months' salary to buy food for this crowd. And even then, they'd only get just a little bite each. That would be maybe about $50,000 today and $2 per person to feed the whole crowd." But Jesus said, "What do you have?" They answered, "Five loaves and 2 small fish. What good is that compared to the need of this crowd?" One of the things that I've learned along the way about leading a faith-based ministry is that it necessitates faith. When God tells you to do something, his command is always accompanied by his blessing to help you complete the task. I like to say it this way: his commission is his permission to succeed. God commissioned Adam and Eve to go forth and populate the earth, and then he blessed them to complete the mission, and they went forth. God commissioned Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, and then God said, "Joshua, I will be with you to complete the mission. Be bold and courageous. Have I not commanded you?" In other words, Joshua, if I told you to do it, I'm also going to help you get through it. God commissioned Gideon to defeat the Midianites, and then he said, "Gideon, the Lord is with you to complete the mission. Am I not sending you, Gideon? If I sent you to do it, I'm going to get you through it." When Jesus says to us, you give them something to eat. His command is accompanied by his blessing to finish the job. Are you going to trust his word or are you going to trust what you see? God told Moses to feed the Israel meat in the wilderness for a whole month. 600,000 fighting men plus their families, a crew of possibly 2 million people. Moses said, Lord, even if we slaughtered all our livestock, it wouldn't be enough. Even if we caught all the fish in the Red Sea, it wouldn't be enough. God said, is the Lord's arm too short? You will see whether or not what I say to you will come true. Moses, are you going to trust my word or are you going to trust what you see? By the way, that night they were buried 3 feet up to their waists in quail. Elisha told his servant to feed 100 Bible school students with 20 pieces of pita bread. Gehazi objected. He said, Lord, how can I set this meager amount of food in front of 100 men? It's an insult. But Elisha replied, this is what the Lord says. They will all eat their fill and they will have some left over. Gehazi, are you going to trust my word or are you going to trust what I see? Who does Jesus use? Who can he use? I like this. Jesus uses disciples who tap into his supernatural supply chain when they have nothing of their own left to offer people. The disciples were tired. They were hungry. They hadn't eaten themselves. Between the 12 of them, all they had was 5 little pieces of pita bread and 2 small sardines. It was a boy's lunch. It was not enough, really adequate to feed one man. But they offered it to Jesus anyway. Beloved, listen to me. When we're at the somebody receive a word from the Lord today, when we're at the end of ourselves, that's when we're just in the right position to be used mightily by God. When we're at the end of our own strength, when we're at the end of our own wisdom, when we're at the end of our own ability, when we're at the end of our own resources, that's when God can work his best miracles through our lives. Somebody take it. Take that word. Take that encouragement. Paul wrote, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. For when I am weak, Christ's power rests on me. You know, a lot of people dream about doing something really big for the kingdom of God someday. But they hold off doing or offering the little that they could do today because in their eyes it's not enough. God isn't looking for your show of strength. He's not impressed by it. He's looking for you to offer yourself in your weakness. What can we learn about Jesus from fish tacos al fresco? How he loves, who he uses. Here's another thought. What blessings Jesus offers to hungry seekers. Jesus blesses hungry seekers with his good leadership. Jesus had compassion on the crowd. He saw that they were lost like sheep without a shepherd. They needed a leader. There was no shortage of leaders in Israel. There were plenty of priests. There were plenty of religious teachers. There were plenty of civil leaders. The problem was there weren't enough good leaders. Israel's leaders were selfish and ambitious and greedy and corrupt. There's a lot of that going around these days. Seems like when it comes to our elections, we've come down to just trying to choose the lesser of two evils, and we're not always sure who that is. It's interesting to me that Jesus' first response to their need was teaching. St. Mark says he taught them many things. That means he talked a long time. But how many of you know when Jesus is present and when the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on the word, it's not boring, it's life-giving. Everyone taking Life in the Spirit with Pastor Nick on Wednesday said, amen. Beloved, listen to me. Don't you underestimate the value of teaching and the need for teaching. Can I tell you, the world today does not need an extended metaphor or illustration with a little moral tacked on to the end of the story. The world needs the Word of God. His truth is a blessing. Eternal knowledge that infuses life with purpose is a blessing. Guidance and wisdom for living is a blessing. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will not stumble blindly through life in darkness, but will have light for living. What blessings does Jesus offer? I like this part. Jesus blesses hungry seekers with a place to belong in his own family. The disciples point out the impending dinner dilemma to Jesus, and he takes charge of the situation. He instructs the disciples to organize the crowd into groups of hundreds and fifties. Everybody has a place to belong. Everyone has a group to sit with. And then Jesus takes on the role of the Jewish head of a household, a Jewish father at supper time. He lifted the loaves of bread. He looked up to heaven and he said the Jewish blessing that a dad would say at the family dinner table. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And then, just like a Jewish dad would do, Jesus began to distribute the food to those at the table. Jesus turned that grassy hill into a laughter-filled, joyful family dining room, and Jesus still does the same today for hungry seekers. He makes us into a joyful family where everybody has a place to belong and a place that they're safe and cared for under his leadership and under his headship. What blessings does Jesus offer? He offers hungry seekers a foretaste of heaven. When Jesus told the disciples to seat the crowd, it's a very specific word that means to seat someone for a formal dinner, for a formal banquet. Normally, the wealthy would be ushered to their seat, a cushion where they would recline. Here in this outdoor banquet, the only cushion was tall grass that was trampled down by thousands of feet. Nevertheless, when Jesus gave the order for them to be seated, it aroused anticipation from the crowd. They expected something good was on the way. The Jewish people believed, and Jesus affirmed, and our Christian scriptures teach that at the end of this age, Jesus, Messiah, will host a great heavenly banquet. St. John called it the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus' impromptu banquet in the wilderness was just a little foretaste of heavenly things that are yet to come. And can I tell you, Jesus still blesses hungry seekers with a little foretaste of heaven. Can I tell you, every time we gather together on Sunday, or whether it's in our small groups or whether it's during the week, every time we're together, it's just a little sweet taste of heaven. His presence with us as we worship, bonds of brotherly affection and love that we feel, his peace that we experience when we're together in his presence. It's just a little taste of heaven. It awakens anticipation for good things yet to come. What blessings does Jesus offer? Jesus blesses hungry seekers with soul satisfaction. You know, nothing really quite satisfies like the food from home when you were a kid. So our daughter, Maddie, is going to university in the Midwest, and she discovered that once you leave New York City, there are vast swaths of America that are culinary wastelands. Denise and I know this because we were in exile in Missouri for 6 years. Maddie called me from Tulsa one day. She said, Dad, people out here actually think that Olive Garden is like a nice restaurant. And I chuckled, and she said, no, I'm serious. When she comes home, all she wants is her mom's good home cooking. In the outdoor family dining room, Jesus served a hometown favorite, fish tacos. The Aramaic words for bread and fish are very specific to the lakeside towns of Galilee. The loaves were like little small pitas made from barley flour, and the fish were little like sardine-like pickled fish. You put the fish on the pita, you fold it up, and voila, you have Galilee's favorite food. How many of you have ever eaten at Bar Taco? All right, if you've ever eaten at Bar Taco, you know that a grown man could easily pound down five of those little itty-bitty fish tacos and probably five more. But in the hands of Jesus, five fish tacos multiplied to feed 5,000 men plus the women and the children. Listen, and everyone was satisfied. Jesus fed the type of food and the quantity of food that pleased them and left them feeling contented. And I want to tell you, Jesus still does the same. He feeds us with the type of food and with the quantity of food that leaves us satisfied, happy, and contented. What can we learn about Jesus from fish tacos al fresco? How he loves, who he uses, what blessings he offers. Finally, this. We learn who Jesus is. Worship team, you can come and help me finish. We learn who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? He is one like Moses, but he's greater than Moses. In the ministry of Moses, there was a picture. Moses fed the children of Israel in the wilderness, and Jesus feeding this crowd in the wilderness is a completion of that picture from the time of Moses. But Jesus' bread satisfies in a way that Moses' bread never did and it never could. Moses prophesied. He said, there's a prophet coming after me. He's like me, but he's greater than me. And everyone must listen to him if they want to have eternal life. That prophet that is one like Moses, but greater, is Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the good shepherd that David described in Psalm 23 and that Ezekiel predicted. Jesus makes us lie down in green pastures. Jesus leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. He guides us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. His rod and his staff comfort us. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil and makes our cups overflow. His goodness and his mercy follow us all the days of our life. Who is Jesus? He alone is our provider. Even though this miracle is recorded in all four Gospels, it doesn't really describe how it went down. Wouldn't you love to know how did it happen? How did five fish tacos feed 20 or 25,000 people? I want to see the B-roll on a bunch of different events from the Bible. That's one of them. But Mark gives us a little clue how it went down. After Jesus blessed the loaves, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And Mark uses a verbal tense when it says Jesus gave it to the disciples. It means he gave and he gave and he gave and he gave and he gave. The bread and the fish miraculously multiplied in the hands of Jesus, and he passed it to the disciples for distribution. Can I tell you, Jesus alone performs miracles, and he uses us to distribute them to others. Jesus alone heals. Jesus alone delivers. Jesus alone restores. And Jesus alone is the one who provides us with daily bread. When the children of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron because they were hungry, Moses said, "Why are you complaining to us? We're not the provider. He's the provider." Beloved, who is Jesus? Do you realize every piece of bread that you receive It has come to you as directly from the hands of Jesus, as if you had been in that outdoor banquet eating his fish tacos. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You alone bring forth bread from the earth. Who is Jesus? He is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He's the one who commands provision over our lives. He's able to provide for us. He's able to use ravens. He's able to use widows. He's even able to use angels. Supply chain problems are no problem at all for Jesus. He's not worried about your Thanksgiving. He's not worried about your Christmas. He's not worried about your 2022. Who is Jesus? Finally this, and we're done. He is the bread of life. Jesus was the cloud by day that led Israel through the wilderness. He was the pillar of fire at night. Jesus was the rock that poured out a river in the desert. And Jesus was the manna that appeared on the morning dew. Something interesting we learn from the book of Exodus, confirmed by St. Paul. The manna supernaturally regulated itself, so that on a daily basis, it was exactly what each person needed. How great is our God? How amazing is he? He who gathered little didn't gather too little. He who gathered much didn't gather too much, because God supernaturally somehow regulated it, that it was exactly what each person needed. And that's exactly who Jesus is and what he does for us. He's precisely what each one of us need every day. He's the right type in the right amount. Who is Jesus? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. He'll never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread of me, he'll live forever. I tell you the truth, the one who believes has eternal life. What do we learn about Jesus from fish tacos al fresco? How he loves who he uses, what blessings he brings, and who he is. Stand on your feet. Would you give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Would you give him a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, let's give him a good praise. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your voice. Lift up your faces. Lift up your hands. Come on, you are my champion, Jesus. Let's sing. Oh, come on, give the Lord a good praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, I just feel in my spirit, didn't do this in the first service, but I just feel in my spirit that God wants to, he wants to just boost somebody's faith in this place today. He wants to just, he just wants to give you a, actually the words the Holy Spirit gave me was a faith infusion. I don't know what other gifts I have maybe, but I know I have the gift of faith. I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold, believe me on that one. But I do have the gift of faith. And then what I have, I give to you. Come on, I want you to just lift up your faces to the Lord, lift up your hands to the Lord. And I want you to just receive from the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray that you just release to your people the gift of faith. Lord, working by the Holy Spirit, faith working by the love of Christ, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just lift faith, increase faith. Lord, for every person who has been through a situation, an experience, a sorrow, a loss that has just depleted their faith, Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name for just boosting faith, elevating faith. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would give a faith infusion. Lord, I pray that you just pour in, Lord, the ability to believe you. Lord, I thank you for opening ears, spiritual ears, again, to hear your voice, Lord. Father, I thank you for opening spiritual ears to receive guidance, direction from you, Lord. Father, and I thank you, along with your command, Lord, I thank you for accompanying that with the faith, Lord, to step forward and carry out what you've spoken, what you've said. Lord, we believe you. Lord, we trust you. Bread of heaven, I pray that you'd satisfy every soul in this place, Lord, with the type of food that we need from heaven and the right quantity, Lord. Supernatural manna from heaven, bread from heaven. Lord, I pray that you'd be the daily bread that each one of us needs in this place today. In Jesus' name, if your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen? Thank you, Lord. I want to ask the members of our board that are here in the sanctuary, some of them were in the first service, any members of our staff, not all of our staff, some of them are at their posts and they can't leave their posts, but our board members and staff members, would you please come and join us right here on the platform? And I want to ask our friend Anika, I can't see you, but I know you're here somewhere. There you are. Anika, would you come down? And we just want to take a moment and honor and celebrate our friends today. Pastor Anita is watching via live stream this morning. So I received a message. Some of you might know or not know that Anita breeds beautiful champion golden retrievers. Her dogs are absolutely gorgeous. And she sent me a text yesterday. She said, Pastor Glenn, she said, in all my years of ministry and involvement in church, she said, there's only been one other Sunday that I had a dog deliver on a Sunday morning. And one of her dogs went into labor last night. And so she couldn't leave her dog to come, and she had to be there. But she's watching us live stream. Everybody turn around and just wave to the camera. See under the blue clock, just give a wave. We love you, Anita. Anita graduated from Alliance Theological Seminary in 2019 with a Master of Divinity degree. And she came onto our team and served us for 2 years on a volunteer basis. She served us without receiving compensation. At the time that Anita joined our team, we were just reformatting our ministries into life groups. And so Anita took on the baton of life groups, and she did an amazing job launching our first life groups and leading that ministry. And then she was personally involved with a set of groups called Soul Care. How many people were involved with Soul Care? Let me see your hands if you're a part of Soul Care. How many people were just blessed beyond imagination by Soul Care? Anika graduated from Highland School of Ministry in Southeastern University in 2020, and she joined our staff in August of 2020 on a part-time basis, helping us in our worship department and so many of the changes, the upgrades, new formats have really been because of Anika's contributions to our congregation. Not only that, but some of you know that Denise and I have a group for young adults that meets at our house on Tuesdays, and it was Anika's dad who really gave me the inspiration for Dinner Party, and Anika was integral to helping us launch Dinner Party and carry it forward for the last year. And Anika, we are just so incredibly grateful to you for all of your service to our church family, our congregation. I've been sharing with you, I've been trying to be as transparent as we can be, but we started the year, because of COVID, we started this year, 2021, in a deficit, and coming out of the summer, we really just were very, very challenged financially, and so our board had to make a number of cutbacks. Not only did we have to make cutbacks on payroll, but we've had to cut back on just wherever we can, different things, equipment and services. And so we are so incredibly sorry to lose Anika from our team. But Anika, we're just so grateful. Would you take a moment, and I just want you to give, for both Anita who's watching on live stream and for Anika, would you just give an applause to show your love and your appreciation to them for their service to us? Amen. In just one moment, for our last act of worship, we're going to receive a love offering to bless Anita and Anika. And I hope that you'll just give the best offering that you can. There's an extra offering envelope that you received in your program today. If we could have the ushers just bring a couple of offering plates down to the front so you can bring your offering forward. I'm going to ask GC Ochoa, who serves on our board, to just say a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing over Anita and Anika, as the Lord just leads them forward in ministry. GC, would you come?
Thank you, Pastor. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this two amazing women of God, Lord. Lord, I thank you for their ministry in leadership and in worship, Lord God. I thank you for their entire family, Lord God. And I am so grateful for the seeds that they have planted in our congregation, Lord God, and in our hearts, Lord. Lord God, I ask you that you just multiply the seeds that they've planted within us and the seeds that they will plant going forward, Lord God, that you will continue to use them mightily for your kingdom, Lord God, that they will reap great harvests for you, Lord God, that they will go forth, Lord God, and continue to sow seeds, and they will reap bountifully, Lord God, that you will multiply everything they have just like the loaves and the fishes, Lord Jesus. We thank you for them, Lord God, and we ask you that you just mightily bless these two daughters of you, Lord. They are your princesses, Lord. You look down upon them with such joy and so proud, Lord God. And we just ask you that you send them forth, Lord God, to do even more for your kingdom than even they did in our house, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, GC. There's cupcakes downstairs, and Anika will be downstairs if you'd like to come and greet her. For our last act of worship, would you bring an offering? And after we've sung, you can go. God bless you. If you need prayer, we have a prayer room across the foyer in that direction, and our friends will be happy to pray with you. God bless you, everyone. God be with you. Fire in the night this coming Friday evening. God bless.